Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, February the 10th. The big story here in North Texas is the weather. We have what they're calling a winter advisory, which means that things are going to get very wintry. We're going to get some ice and some snow, maybe a little rain mixed in. And that hasn't quite started yet. It's supposed to last for a few days. Now, in the past, when we've had some of these advisory warnings or whatever, not all of them pan out. Many times they kind of fizzle out. Sometimes they are very serious. I remember a week back in February, about this time in 2011, when we had some snow for quite a few days. But so far, it's just very cold outside. It's in the, I guess it's in the 30s. It feels like it's 19 or 20 because of the wind and just the cloudiness and all of that. But anyway, it's winter advisory. That's what they call it. And how bad this is going to get, well, I'll let you know in the next couple of days. Sometimes it doesn't, as I said before. Sometimes it just kind of fizzles out, but other times it does happen. Well, let's begin today a little bit with President Biden, who I've come to the conclusion, now it's only 3 weeks. It's only 3 weeks, so this may change. This may change. I have to say that because it's only 3 weeks. But so far, he has shown to me no political instincts whatsoever. You know, normally a politician who's been around as long as he has a pretty good feeling for how the politics goes. You know, he has a pretty good feeling for, you know, surviving politically and understanding that there are two sides to issues and all of that. But I am surprised, and it amazes me just how far to the left he's going at a time when the country isn't going to the left like he is. Now, look, I was just looking at some information this morning about the 2020 election. Basically, when you calculate everything, when you consider every single federal election from coast to coast, from north to south, I mean, from the Canadian coast to the Gulf of Mexico, from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean or whatever, when you look at everything, 155, 156 million people voted for president. So not all of them voted down the line, but most of them did. And the Democrats got 90,000 more votes than the Republicans did, and that's why we have a 50-50 Senate, a 50-50 House. So this is the country right now. We're about as 50-50 as we have ever been. I can't think of another time in American history when we were more 50-50 in every way, right down the line, 50-50. And you would think that President Biden understands that, and you would think he knows that, and you would think he would try to somehow govern in a way that, you know, understands this 50-50 nature of our political arena. Well, not really. I mean, look at the way he is governing. Look at the way he is writing executive orders. Look at what he says. Look at what he's trying to do with his COVID stimulus, which sounds to me more and more like a liberal plan to push a lot of things through that they would never be able to get if they had to vote for them up and down. And that's, you know, I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying to myself, does President Biden understand how he's turning off the other 50%? Look at what's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border. What's happening on the border could explode at any moment. In the next, I mean, we could be spending the next 3 months screaming about what's happening down on the border, where people are coming into the country, they're being allowed to come into the country, and in many cases, we don't even check if they have COVID or not. They're coming from regions like Mexico and Central America, where COVID is a real problem. So they're coming into the country. This is all being done in the name of family reunification, which is fine. I can understand that. But do they have to come into the country? They don't have to come into the country. They can stay in Mexico like they did with President Trump. So, I mean, you get into a situation where you have to really begin to wonder whether or not President Biden understands the problems he's creating for himself. Let's take the border as an example. If he wants to do immigration reform, he's going to need Republican votes because he doesn't have 51 Democrats. I'm not even sure he's got 50 because you've got Manchin in West Virginia and Tester in Montana, and I'm not sure those two are sold on legalizing 11 million people in the country. But anyway, he's going to need some Republicans to go along with him. But the Republicans are not going to work with him if he keeps opening up the border. And they're just not going to do it. So he's made all these decisions, whether it's the pipeline, whether it's the border, whether it's the issue with transgenders, whether it's the issue with abortion, and so on and so on. But he's basically positioning himself to the left, much further to the left than he did during the campaign. I mean, basically during the campaign, he didn't say much about any of this. He didn't say anything specific about any of this. He just kind of played, you know, this sort of middle of the road. Well, you know, well, I'll tell you after I get elected. And then on top of that, you had a media that didn't want to ask him any questions. So, you know, to some extent, we got a candidate who is a big question mark, if you really think about it. But again, I go back to what I said before. A man who has been in Washington, Joe Biden was elected to the U.S. Senate when Richard Nixon ran for his reelection in 1972, when Nixon had that incredible landslide winning 49 states. Sorry about that. I'm battling a little bit with some allergies. I'm sorry. But anyway, when Nixon was elected in that massive landslide, reelection landslide of 1972, that was the year that Joe Biden was elected to the U.S. Senate. So he's been around for, what's 1972, 48 years? He's seen Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. You know, he's seen a bunch of presidents. He's seen the country go one direction or another. He has seen presidents fail, like Jimmy Carter. He has seen presidents succeed, like Ronald Reagan. And yet, you know, nothing, I don't think he's learned anything from any of this. And that's what, you know, that's what I think for many of us, it's honestly quite confusing. I mean, this man's political instincts are about as bad as anybody, any politician I've ever seen. And this situation on the border, this is going to become a real problem. And I mean a real problem for President Biden, because you just don't allow people to come into a country in a disorderly fashion when you have a pandemic on top of it. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And there's going to be a real problem coming up. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I mentioned a minute ago, forgive me if I have to mute for a second because of these allergies that I've been battling here for the last few days. Well, another big story of the day is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, if you know anything about the Mark Cuban story, he's an incredible person. Now, there's a lot to admire about Mark Cuban. He became an extremely successful businessman by being a good businessman. What else can I tell you? And then he also bought the Mavericks, and I think that's how most people know him, as the owner of the Mavericks. But he was a very successful businessman before that. And, you know, this is a man who probably – and then on top of that, I need to say this too. On top of that, he's been a very generous man here in the community. I mean, he has – been very generous, for example, to widows of police officers and veterans and all of that. I mean, so he's a good man. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a bad person by any means. But Mark Cuban announced today that the Dallas Mavericks are not going to play the national anthem at their games anymore. And I'm sitting there saying, why? I mean, what made this happen? Look, I'm pretty much in tune with sports here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I don't hear any yearning or any calling by fans saying that they're not going to buy tickets to the Mavericks games because they're playing the national anthem. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the exact opposite. I'm hearing people are pretty angry at this because the national anthem is something that we can all agree on. So you have to wonder why. Why would Mark Cuban make this decision? Why would he make it without consulting with the fans or the advertisers for that matter? How would you like to be a major advertiser in the Mavericks and now all of a sudden people are asking you, why are you advertising in that team or with that team or that TV game or whatever? So, I mean, I just find the way he did it is somewhat surprising because Mark Cuban, if anything, has been a pretty smart businessman. He's got a pretty good sense for business. So for him to go woke like this and all of a sudden, you know, gee, we're not going to play the national anthem. Why? I don't know. He hasn't really explained it yet. As far as I know, none of the players are refusing to play because of the national anthem. I mean, there's two guys on that team, you know, one's from Latvia and the other one is from one of these old Soviet republics. I don't think any of those two guys object to the national anthem. As far as I know, none of the others do. The Mavericks are not known as a team that has been very politically woke or anything like that. I mean, they're a pretty fan-friendly team. So, and this area of Dallas is a pretty patriotic area. So I don't know. I don't know what Mark Cuban, where he's going with this. But I can tell you from my standpoint, that's the end of my support for the Mavericks. I don't follow the NBA that much. It's not my favorite sport. But, you know, like everybody else, I would tune in once in a while. But that's it for me. I really have no interest in them. If they're not going to play the national anthem, then they lost me. For whatever it's worth, they lost me. But bad decision. And the way they've handled this, too, the way the Mavericks have handled this, by not coming out and formally explaining it, that I think tells you a little bit about the management of the team or maybe Mark Cuban himself. I'm surprised because Cuban, as I said, is a pretty smart businessman, and he really has been a fan-friendly owner. So he understands the fan as well as anybody. So why he did this, I absolutely have no idea. Well, impeachment day number two is underway. This is impeachment number two, day number two is underway. I'm still waiting for the prosecutors here to present some evidence. So far, all we have seen is a video that was deleted where parts of what President Trump said were deleted. That's not very nice. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But so far, not, you know, lots of videos, lots of emotions, but not a lot of evidence to show that Mr. Trump was the person who incited this riot, who apparently had been pre-planned. And the FBI now tells us that the riot, or at least some of these people, had been planning to do it, and they had warned the Capitol about this, which is something else too. Why aren't we asking that question as to why the Capitol was so unprotected? Well, if you're a fan of Rush Limbaugh, as I am, I'm sure you've noticed that he's been missing a lot lately. And apparently he's getting treatment, and, someone from his show, I think it was Mr. Snertley, as he likes to call him, made a statement today that Rush is under treatment and they're praying for him. I think everybody's praying for Rush. It's going to be tough for Rush. I really do. What he has, the kind of advanced lung cancer that he has is very bad, and we're certainly praying for Rush. And everyone that I know is hoping for a full comeback, but, you know, it's all you can do at this point is pray for Rush. That's all you can do at this point. Rush Limbaugh, I mean, we're praying for Rush. That's all we can say at this point. And going back on this day in history, we say happy number 84 to Roberta Flack, who, of course, became very popular in the 70s with songs like The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face and Killing Me Softly and a few other songs that she recorded as well with, I can't think of the guy's name that she recorded with, Holloway, I think was his name, that she recorded with. So a very beautiful voice, Roberta Flack. We wish her a very happy number 84. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.